Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. From the epistle lesson in 1 Corinthians 7, St. Paul says, "The appointed time has grown very short, for the present form of this world is passing away." And Jesus says, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Today, on this third Sunday after the Epiphany and annual Life Sunday, we're going to talk about two aspects of the Christian life. First of all, what does it mean to be a fisher of men? And secondly, how do we stand up and defend the beautiful and precious gift given by God of human life, trusting God and choosing life? So first of all, what does it mean to be fishers of men for Jesus, to which Jesus called the apostles and us? Think of the picture. The sea is the world. The boat is the church. The net is the gospel. The fish are people, you and me. The casting of the net is preaching the law and the gospel to all the world. Being brought into the boat is coming to faith, believing, and the journey of this boat across the water is to lead us to heaven, to eternal life. And we are called to participate in Jesus' work of being fishers of men. And then the second thing we'll consider is God's gift of human life, the precious gift of life from the moment of conception until old age. We have our annual Life Sunday today, January 22nd. It was exactly 39 years ago today, the Roe versus Wade decision, which legalized abortion. How do we, in a world of darkness, stand up for the light? How do we, in a world of death, stand up for life? The gift of life in Christ Jesus. God is our creator. Life, your life, my life, is a gift. From the moment of conception until old age, until God calls us home. Christians, as we've been challenged by the president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, Matthew Harrison, for this triennium and 3 years, our theme as Missouri Synod Lutherans is mercy, witness, and life together. And we'll be talking about that in 2012. And he will actually be here with us in Norman, April 20th and 21st, at the Postal Training Center for our district convention, talking about how do we as Christians bring forth mercy, witness, and life together. A dying world might have life. So first, let's talk about Jesus and the kingdom of God that is near to us in him. Because if we're going to be fishers of men, what are we bringing the world to? We are bringing them to Jesus, the King, and in him, bringing them into the kingdom of God. So let's start there first. Then talk about fishers of men, and then talk about life. Jesus. The kingdom of God is near to us in the person of Jesus. The best way to remember this is that wherever the king is, there is the kingdom. Wherever Jesus is, there the kingdom is near to us. And he is right among us right now in word and sacrament and his gifts. The kingdom of God is near to us in Jesus. Now after John the Baptist was arrested, you remember he prepared the way for the Lord. Jesus now comes into Galilee, and John had told everybody, "I prepared the way, now you follow him. Here's the Lamb of God." Jesus appears proclaiming the gospel of God. He has come in himself to take away the sin of the world, to take our sin as far as the east is from the west. The time is fulfilled, Jesus says. The Old Testament prophecies going back to Genesis have now come to its fulfillment. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. He is present among us on earth, true man among us. The kingdom of God is at hand because the King is present. And when King Jesus came, he said two things: repent and believe the gospel. Law gospel. That's how God works. Repent is the word of the law. You know the Ten Commandments are summarized as the first and second table of the law. The first three commandments are summarized, love the Lord your God with heart, soul, mind, and strength. And commandments 4 through 10, the second table of the law, love your neighbor as yourself. But because of the sinful condition we inherited from our parents, Adam and Eve, we break these every day in thought and word and deed. We omit to do the right things and we commit wrong. The law acts like a mirror, the second use of the law, and it shows us our sin. So when we look at the Ten Commandments, we realize, I do need to repent. I haven't loved God or my neighbor. I've loved myself. I've been a rebellious child. Lord, I repent, which means I admit it and I turn from it. And then says Jesus, believe the gospel. Did you know the word gospel in and of itself means good news? That's what the word gospel means. And here's the good news. The second Adam has appeared. Jesus, our substitute, has come to undo the curse the first Adam brought. You think of all the names, the good names that we have for Jesus. We call him Savior. We call him Redeemer. Son of God. Son of Man. The Lord. The Suffering Servant. The Crucified Man. The Risen King. The Ascended Christ. The Returning in Glory. This Lord Jesus Christ has come and fulfilled the law we could not fulfill and kept it perfectly and died the death that we deserved upon the cross so that God accounts us righteous through the blood of Jesus Christ, which cleanses us from all sin. You ask yourself, well, how is that kingdom near to me? Every time the word is read to you, the kingdom of God is near. Every time you read the Bible yourself in your devotions, the kingdom of God is near you. When you are baptized in water and word, the kingdom is as near to you as that water that touched you. When you receive Christ's body and blood under the bread and wine for the forgiveness of your sins, the kingdom of God is with you and within you. Wherever the kingdom is, there is the kingdom. And Jesus the King is among us right now at this moment. The kingdom of God is near us. It is this kingdom God wants to bring people into. That is why he calls us to follow him and become fishers of men. The place that we're sitting is called the nave. And the nave is a Latin word for boat. So you've been caught in the net of the gospel, and you're here in Jesus' boat, if you will, the church, which isn't actually a building, but the people called to faith in Christ. The work of our church and our school and our campus ministry is really very simple. Follow Jesus, be a fisher of men. Follow Jesus every day, be a fisher of men. The only reason these buildings are here, the reason we've invested all this money in church services for over 110 years and our time and our talent and our treasures with vicars that help us with the campus ministry, with our school staff, our child care staff, and all the families that we're ministering to, we're doing one thing. We're following Jesus and we're being fishers of men. It's what life is all about. That's what life is all about. So Jesus says to Simon and Andrew by the Sea of Galilee, come follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. Way up north, the Sea of Galilee is beautiful up north, with the lake and the shoreline and the green grass and all the little villages around this freshwater lake. Simon and Andrew are pious, simple Jewish fishermen. They went to the synagogue every Saturday to hear God's word, to pray to him. And these fishermen are casting their nets into this lake. And now they have a new vocation, to follow Jesus and make fishers and become fishers of men. Now, by the way, this is not the first time Andrew and Peter had talked to Jesus. The other Gospels tell us that Andrew spent the whole day with Jesus, came to Peter and said, we found the Christ. By talking to Christ and hearing his preaching, they realized that he was the promised Messiah. So when Jesus appears by the lake, they knew him, they had heard his preaching, had already been taught, and now he calls them to be two of his 12 apostles. And then he goes a little further down the lake, and you can still visit this spot today by Capernaum and Bethsaida, and he walks a little further down the beach, and there's another set of brothers, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, and they've already finished fishing for the day, so they are mending their nets, because of course, torn nets, the fish would get away, so the daily work of mending their nets is before them, and they also had heard Jesus preach earlier and knew about Christ. And he calls them too, and they follow him and leave their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants. They had quite the business, and Zebedee and the servants would continue the business. But now James and John, Peter and Andrew, have a new calling, heavenly calling, to be fishers of men. Now think about you and me. Jesus has called us to follow him and be fishers of men. First of all, the general call to faith for all Christians. He has called you out of the world. You are now a baptized saint in his kingdom, clothed with Jesus' righteousness. You have been called to be a disciple. Men, women, children of all ages, of all races and nationalities. The first call is a call to faith and to be a disciple. Another specific call was to the 12 to be his apostles, the office of apostle through whom we would receive the New Testament. And his 12 apostles had their apostolic office given to them, calling to follow and be a fisher of men. Then some people are called to be pastors and teachers and workers in the church. They have a call to help shepherd God's people, and they have a unique calling. And then every single Christian has a calling and a vocation in their daily life, faith toward God and love toward your neighbor. Whether it be husband or wife, employer or employee, in whatever calling God has placed you, don't have to leave Norman somewhere to go somewhere else to follow Jesus, to be a fisher of men there, although God might call you some other place. You can be a fisher of men right here where God has placed you, where you live, whatever your job is, whatever your vocation is. In that work, you can follow Jesus, come to the divine service, hear his word, and go forth with love toward your neighbor. And God will use you to be a fisher of men in ways you can't even imagine. I remember one time as a boy, growing up in Lakewood, Ohio, my grandfather was a dentist. Doc Nairns, they called him. And I went to get my hair cut one day. I was 8 years old, and I walked to the barber shop, and the barber is cutting my hair. And he just asked me what my name is, and everyone called me Davy. So I said, I'm Davy Nairns. He said, Nairns? Your last name is Nairns? I said, yes, sir. He says, is your grandfather a dentist? Well, said, yes, he is. I love that man. He tells me about God every time he comes in here for a haircut. Little did I know, I had wandered into my grandfather's dentist. And I was so proud because every time he went there, he had a good word for my grandfather's barber. He was my dentist. I wandered into his barber shop. And I was so proud that he would share his faith with his barber. And the barber was more and more interested in God and Jesus because of a dentist sharing his faith with his barber. That is being a fisher of men. Well, then the last thing we consider, that on this National Life Day all around the world as pastors are proclaiming, what does it mean to stand up for life in a world of death? How do we speak out for God's gift of human life? First of all, remember what Paul said this morning? He said, the present form of this world is passing away. The unbelieving world in its darkness is condemned. The appointed time has grown short, meaning we're in the last days. All the signs of the last days are here. Jesus could come at any time. We must prepare for judgment day, for the last day, when the universe will be burned up, the bodies will be raised, we'll come before the Son of God, and the new heavens and the new earth will come down, and the sheep, the believers on his right, and the goats on his left. We are awaiting that day. And Paul said, how should you live then, since the form of this world is passing away? If you're married, it's as if you're not married. If you mourn or rejoice, it's as if you're not mourning or rejoicing. If you buy as if you have no goods, if you deal with people in the world as if not dealing with the world. And what he meant is, have your feet on earth, but have your head in heaven. Feet on earth, head in heaven. Jonah did. Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh, but God called him to. And he's preached to thousands of people, and they repented. God was about to overthrow it, but they repented in sackcloth and ashes. They believed God from the least to the greatest. And God saw this and turned and relented. God's love and mercy was upon the people of Nineveh. God's love and mercy is upon the people of the world today, for Christ has not returned yet, so that more people can come to repentance and be brought into God's kingdom. On this Life Sunday, we with all Christians thank God that we have physical life, our bodies are alive, spiritual life, which is faith in our hearts, and eternal life with God forever, in Jesus' name. As fishers of men, as you participate in sharing the good news of the gospel with all people, may we, in compassionate service, assist the unborn child, the infirm, the feeble, the elderly, to have life here and in eternity. The insert that you have describes the work of Lutherans for Life. We also support here in our community Eden Clinic and Birth Choice, which help unwed mothers. We are Christians. We are people of the light, not of the darkness. And because we are people of light and life, we speak against abortion and we stand up for adoption. We speak against infanticide and speak up for mercy for those who are disabled. We speak against suicide and we speak up for godly self-identity. We speak against genocide and speak up for all God's people of all races and nationalities. We speak against euthanasia, and we speak up and stand up for the dignity of the elderly, for those who are older, for we trust God and we choose life. May you, a follower of Jesus, a walker in the light, and one who is used as a fisher of men, look for the opportunities every day in simple ways to share your faith in Christ with others. And may we stand up for God's gift of human life as fishers of men who trust God and choose life. And may the Lord use us in mighty ways in the future. Through Jesus Christ our Lord we pray. Amen. Now may the peace that surpasses our human understanding guard our hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.